Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
So we're in the middle of our stewardship campaign, and so the messages are about stewardship, and so I'm going to show you another pie chart. And if you're a first-time visitor, we do not start the sermon every week with a pie chart. We do not do that. But I told you from the beginning, I want to share practical information with you, just let you know kind of how this stuff works when we talk about finances and money and giving in the church. And so last week showed you a pie chart that showed you the breakdown of our budget of expected spending. And, you know, remember, a little over half of that was personnel, which is typical of most churches. Well, this pie chart says, okay, if you took the staff members and put them connected to their program ministries, what percentage would that be? So this represents not only the program dollars for all the various areas, but also the salaries and costs of each staff person for those areas. The only salary that is not included is mine. And that's because technically I'm supposed to supervise that, all of that. And so to just dice up my salary, and that just didn't seem to make sense. So these are people dedicated to these ministry areas. And so the largest piece you see is administrative, because we do expect that you have a bulletin in your hand and a clean building and all those things. That's just part of it. Our children's ministry, youth ministry, 8%, 11%. When you include staff, adult ministry, 9%. Celebration and bridge worship services, 20%, 19%. So that includes musicians and the various costs associated there. So that's kind of how all that breaks out. And I had promised you more practical information along the way, and so that's kind of how all that shapes up. So if you have questions about that, please let me know. I'd be happy to visit with anybody about questions that you have about those things. You will receive a piece of mail this week that has to do with the cards that Dave and Becky mentioned. We are asking that people consider filling out a commitment card of your anticipated giving in 2018. That gives us an idea of what that pie chart would look like going forward, how we can plan for those things. So if you don't receive that letter this week, let me know. I'd be glad to get you one and give you more information. So in this message today, there are several themes that are going to bubble up in this message that are just kind of there all the time. One of those is God's law, God's teachings, God's commandments. Another piece is our response, faithfulness or unfaithfulness, obedience, disobedience. Another one is God's blessings, how God blesses us in our lives individually and corporately. And then, of course, and then the theme of water. The theme of water, that is such an interesting theme that you see all through the Scripture, certainly starting very early with the Noah and the flood, right? Noah and the flood, you have the Israelites at the edge of the Red Sea, and God parts the Red Sea so they can go through to move toward the Promised Land. And certainly we get to the New Testament, and it's the water of baptism and the cleansing and the renewing waters of baptism. So we're in Exodus. Last week we talked about how they had gotten out of Egypt. They'd gotten past the Red Sea, and so now they needed food, and they complained to Moses, "We have no food." At least back home in Egypt, we had food. So God provides. Remember, quail in the evening. There was quail likely after a long flight land on the ground over the water. They land on the ground, and they can't do anything. So they have quail that they can catch and eat, and they have manna the next morning, a bread-like substance on the ground. God provides food for them. The very next chapter, chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, it's another necessity for survival in the wilderness. From the wilderness of sin, that's just a generic Hebrew name that doesn't mean anything beyond that, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink. Moses did so in sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" As if quail and manna, when they needed food, was not enough, they yet again lapsed into the, oh no, what's going to happen next? We don't know the answer. God must not going to be provided for us. And so they complained to Moses, we got to have water. Well, I mean, it is kind of understandable, right? It is kind of understandable. These folks at this point are in the Sinai Peninsula. Here's a satellite image of the Sinai Peninsula. And so, you know, you look at that and you think, yeah, that's not a great spot. Not a lot of water on the land. A lot of biblical scholars think that they were probably at this point, if you go from the southern tip of the peninsula up about a third of the way toward the top, it's about where they were at this time. So you can tell kind of by looking at that, oh, well, you know, that would be a terrible place to be with no water. The next slide shows you more of just a kind of on-the-surface look of this area of the Sinai Peninsula. Yeah, not much water. I mean, we kind of know that intellectually, but imagine you and 600,000 of your friends and neighbors are out there, and there's no water, right? But how quickly they forget. How quickly they forget. You go back to chapter 15. Back to chapter 15. They had escaped from Egypt, and they found a place to camp, and there was water there. And they tried to drink the water, but it was bitter. It was undrinkable. And so the Lord showed Moses a branch of a tree and said, "Throw that branch in the water, and it'll make it sweet." Sure enough, made it sweet. The people had water to drink. God had provided water for them before. This was not a new thing that God had provided water before. God had provided meat and bread and almost the next thing that happens. Oh, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't think God will come through again. Can we trust God? Seems to be a common theme throughout this story. The last verse of chapter 15 says, "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his laws and commands, then I will not make you suffer the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." If you will listen to the word of the Lord, God's command, if you will do what is right, obedient response, I will heal you. I'm the Lord who heals. God's blessings. Those are all connected. See, there's a relationship between God's blessings and our level of obedience. There's a relationship between God's blessings and our level of obedience. Now, let me be quick to tell you what that does not mean. Because some people take that and they just extrapolate it in a direction that is really not helpful and really not reflected in the Bible. Some of them take that to say, well, if I'm just faithful to God, if I just do what God wants, God will bless me more and more and more and more. And most people interpret that to mean more and more money. It's rampant in America. It's called the prosperity gospel. That if I'll just do more for God, if I'll just be more faithful, if I'll just give more money to that TV preacher, I'm going to get more money. That is nowhere in God's economy. This is not an exchange rate. This is not a transaction. So it's not prosperity gospel. It's also not saying that God's love is somehow conditional. That God loves you if you do the right thing. I mean, that kind of takes away the whole notion of grace, right? Kind of takes away the whole point of Jesus dying on the cross. That God, I'll love you if you just do the right things. No. God's love is unconditional. It does not change. God loves you, period. End of sentence. Nothing else to be said about that. God loves you. But I've framed this whole series in terms of a relationship. And so when you think of a relationship, of let's just say parents and kids, because most of you probably, if you're not a parent, you've probably been a kid at some time in your life, right? Most of us have done that. So you have parents who love you unconditionally. That does not change. Or if you're a parent now, you know you love your kids unconditionally. But there's a relationship between the obedience and the blessings, right? If the kid continually doesn't do the things that they're asked to do or they're supposed to do, or, I mean, there's I mean, at least the way it's supposed to work, is that there's a different kind of reaction to that than when they actually do the things they say they're going to do, they're supposed to do. Does that make sense? That there's a relationship between our obedience and God's blessings. God loves us all the time. That doesn't change. But how we act, interact to God, and how we trust God, there's a big difference. This is really clear in other places in the Old Testament. There's in Deuteronomy 28, it says, if you fully obey the Lord by your God by keeping all the commands I give you, the Lord your God will exalt you. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. It says it the other direction too, Jeremiah 5, your wickedness has deprived you of these wonderful blessings. Your sin has robbed you of all these good things. There's a relationship between our obedience and God's blessings. Well, so that's a common theme. Like I said, it's going to be in this message of God's teaching and our obedience and God's blessings. But then what about that image of water? Water is throughout the Bible. And there's a time Jesus is having a conversation with somebody, and it kind of centers around water. In John chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples had been traveling. It's the heat of the day. They find a well and shade, and so they go to sit in the shade and rest. And a woman comes out to get water for her and her family, and Jesus says, asks her if he could have a drink. And her reaction, you might recall, is, whoa, what are you doing talking to me? Because social convention of the day was it was completely inappropriate for a man who was a stranger to talk to, initiate a conversation with another woman. Completely inappropriate. He had broken social convention. More than that, she said, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. So there's a different ethnicity, different culture, different religion. We're not even supposed to be talking here. And so the conversation, Jesus says, well, if you knew kind of what I'm about, you would know there is this thing called living water. Now, literally what that means from the original language is fresh water, running water, so like a stream. So like there's a stream of drinkable water that's not a well. You have to throw the bucket in and pull it out, but there's a stream. And so this would be pretty appealing. We don't have to lower a bucket into a well. There's water readily available. Water is readily available. So she would love to know more about this stream. Where is the stream so we could make that happen? She's still in that literal mode, but Jesus says, people soon become thirsty again after drinking this water, but the water I give them takes away thirst altogether. It becomes a perpetual spring within them, giving them eternal life, a perpetual spring within them, that the things that we thirst for in our lives can be satisfied in a way that's not about contingent, tangible things in front of us. It's about, as Jesus goes on to say, it's about doing the will of God, being obedient, and receiving God's blessings. Well, these images of water help us to think through our faith and trust in God. However, we American Protestant Christians often miss something in all of this because we tend to read the Scripture as it being about me, how God wants to bless me. Now, God calls me to do this. But the Scripture was written to God's people. Not just me, not just to Jeff. It's written to everybody. It's written to us collectively, corporately. So the address to obedience, the call to obedience is to us. Now, certainly there are individual decisions and actions that have to be taken, but it's to us as a people, as a congregation. So what does it mean to be blessed by God as a people? Not just me as Jeff, but to us as a people. How have you been blessed by God? How has the congregation experienced blessing? Well, I know in talking with people since I've been here, I mean, one of those deep, deep blessings are friends. People that know me, that love me, that care for me. I've heard that many times. I've heard somebody say, you know, for me, this really is my home. These are my brothers and sisters. I belong here. I mean, what a deep blessing that is. Blessing of deepened faith through Sunday school, through disciple Bible study, through men's studies, women's studies. A deepened faith. The blessings of an opportunity to serve beyond yourself. Whether it's at Malvern, whether it's going to Juarez next week, whether it's going to El Salvador or Guatemala to drill a water well, whether it's whatever it is, that opportunity to serve beyond self. What great blessings come from that. Well, when we think about life in the church, we're talking about our levels of stewardship, our trust in God, how all this intersects and comes together. Kind of the two foundational principles, teaching of the Bible about this are that the individual needs to give in order for God to show trust in God, to obey God, and for God to continue to grow us. God does something in that. And then of the collected gifts, that is to be used for the good of the congregation and the community. For the good for the congregation and the community. So, you know, we have this level of ministry that we have here at Stonebridge. I showed you the chart a little bit ago with the various ministries, things that we think are vitally important. We need to do those things, and we want to continue those things. But there's always more, right? I mean, there are more people to reach in this community. We don't have to wait till McKinney gets to 300,000 population to think there's more people to reach. There are more people to reach right now. So there's things we can do beyond that. There are different ways, more ways we can minister to children and to youth, more ways we can have adult studies. There are more things that we can do that as we provide those gifts collectively, they get used for the good of the congregation and the community. So we trust God and obediently respond to God through the congregation. So the call through this series is to consider what our obedient response, our individual obedient response is, and then collectively, what's our obedient response and how that money gets used. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a couple of these references from the Scripture today where places would get named either based on the characteristic of the place or the characteristic of people's experience there. So in that chapter 15, the place was named equivalent of bitter because the water was bitter. They named it bitter. So as they had an experience there, we name it bitter. So then, when they got to the place where they're testing and quarreling, it was Massah and Meribah. And those words mean quarreling and testing. We named the place based on the people's reaction. Quarreling and testing. Well, it got me to thinking, what if we were each known individually, known less by our name but more by our characteristics? Now, this is in the Native American tradition something that is done. You probably know this. When I was district superintendent in northwestern New Mexico, one of my areas was the Four Corners, so Navajo land. And so I remember one of the first meetings I had up there, and I was gathered with the folks, and we were talking through some things. And someone, as I was getting to know them, they said, "Well, you know, we typically name somebody after their characteristics." And I said, "Oh, no, I'm not going to let you go there with me. I don't want to hear what you think about me. You can just call me Jeff. That's all you need to do." And they, unfortunately, they laughed. But I mean, really, well, think about that. What if we were known for our characteristics? What would our name be? Thinking about our church, thinking about our congregation, if we were known for the characteristics of Stonebridge United Methodist Church, what would our name be? It's easy to say, "Oh, it's Stonebridge," because it's on Stonebridge Drive in Stonebridge Ranch Development. But if it was based on characteristics. Well, Jeremiah said this. You heard this in the choir song just a little while ago. Jeremiah says, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they go right on producing delicious fruit."
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either in our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in the bridge, which offers contemporary music in a relaxed, rejuvenating environment. For more information, visit our website at mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.